This is the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands. Today, the American songwriter Irving Berlin celebrates his 100th birthday. For a tribute and appreciation of the man who gave us some of the finest popular songs of this century, here's Pete Myers.
When I began this project a few weeks ago, I asked my friends and colleagues a simple question. What does the music of Irving Berlin mean to you? With few exceptions, all I got was a shrugged shoulder, a blank stare, and the inevitable reply, I thought he was dead. So one day, a group of Americans visited Radio Netherlands, all under 30, and I threw the same question in their direction.
I'm too young. It doesn't suggest anything. Bruce Springsteen is my man.
Bing Crosby. That's what it always brings to mind.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Bum, 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 bum.
Romance, snow, symphonies, long dresses, and white muffs. From the movie White Christmas.
The Fountain of Youth. He must have the secret.
Rhapsody in Blue. I have listened to that a great deal, and it has a lot of meaning to me.
I'm sure, only it was composed by George Gershwin, a man who described Irving Berlin as the American Schubert. But it was Jerome Kern who handed Berlin his finest compliment. When asked to express his opinion about Berlin's place in American music, he replied,
Irving Berlin has no place in American music. He is American music.
Folks are dumb where I come from. They ain't had any learning. Still they're happy as can be, doing what comes naturally.
Doing what comes naturally.
Folks like us could never fuss with schools and books and learning. Still we've gone from A to Z, doing what comes naturally.
Doing what comes naturally.
You don't have to know how to read or write when you're out with a feller in the pale moonlight. You don't have to look in a book to find what he thinks of the moon or what is on his mind. That comes naturally.
That comes naturally.
My uncle out in Texas can't even write his name. He signs his checks with X's, but they catch him just the same. If you saw my pa and ma, you'd know they had no learning. Still they raised a family, doing what comes naturally.
From his finest stage show, Annie Get Your Gun, the nearest he ever got to fulfilling his dream of writing a great American folk opera. Songwriting, and he's given us close to 2,000 songs, is a thing that comes naturally to Berlin, exasperatingly so. His long life is full of fascinating anecdotes that leave us amazed at his prolific output. His greatest gift was the ability to transform a simple thought into a universal song. Anthems custom-made for any occasion. And it all happened naturally. Consider this. When first asked to write the lyrics and music for Annie Get Your Gun in 1946, Berlin refused. I don't write hillbilly music, he said. Well, after some persuasion, he retreated to his farm in the Catskill Mountains for a weekend. And when, like Moses, he came down the mountain, in his hand were 7 of the songs, all of them later smash hits. His colleagues loved the score, but didn't react approvingly to one of those numbers. So Berlin decided to leave it out. Later, as the show went into production, the producer needed a number for a scene change and remembered the rejected song. Let's put it back, he said. And that's how show business got its national anthem.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you have that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra mile.
There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low.
Even with the turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with our show.
No business like show business. No Christmas unless it's white. No Easter without the parade. And if God blesses America, it's because Berlin put it to music. Not bad for a man who can't read a note. could only play his piano on the black keys in F sharp, and whose name is a misprint anyway. His real name is Israel Balin, born 100 years ago today in Temun, a village in Siberia, Russia. It no longer exists. It was burnt down by Russian Cossacks. Like thousands of other Jews, the Balin family found refuge in America, the Promised Land, arriving there when Israel was 4 years old. He grew up in New York City and started earning a living in his teens, selling papers, singing in restaurants, plugging songs, and writing them. Some of those songs are best forgotten today, but they were popular then. It was 1911, when the world was still sweet and innocent, when every parlor had a piano and ragtime was the rage. Now, back in the days before the invention of the gramophone, people bought sheet music, 9 cents a copy. Mr. Balin published quite a number under his original name, till one day a printer made a mistake and changed his name to Berlin. Izzy liked it, changed Israel to Irving, and an American legend was born. So he writes a song, calls it Alexander and His Clarinet. It's a failure. He doesn't like the tune, so he goes into his trunk, where he keeps all his unused compositions, Irving never throws anything away, and finds this old melody. He promotes Alexander from clarinetist to the leader of the band. And the rest, as they say, is history. Alexander's ragtime band sweeps the world. In its first year, it earns Berlin $50,000 in royalties. The songs that follow are upbeat, optimistic, full of nostalgia for the South, which he never visited till years later. With the world at his feet, age 24, he falls in love and marries. The happy couple go to Cuba for their honeymoon. His wife catches typhus and dies 5 months later. Irving falls into a deep depression and says he cannot write anymore. Well, a friend comes to his rescue, advises him to let his natural emotions work for him, not against him. It's a piece of advice that would change the course of his life and his music. He broke the block and opened his heart, and the result was the first Berlin ballad.
I lost the sunshine and roses. I lost the heaven of blue. I lost the beautiful rainbow. I lost the morning dew. I lost the angel who gave me summer the whole winter through. I lost the gladness that turned into sadness when I lost you.
In time, after the pain had subsided, Berlin would remarry and spend an enchanted life turning out some of the most enduring songs of the century, music that would inspire a new generation of composers all over the globe. Here in the Netherlands, Harry Bunnink is regarded as our leading composer of popular show tunes. He has written the music for a number of Dutch musicals and happily acknowledges Irving Berlin's influence.
Oh yes, he has influenced me very much. I don't know how, but I remember his song so very well, and you must know in the early years, I started my career as a member of a dance band. And in that orchestra, we played several tunes of Irving Berlin, tunes like Blue Skies, but only instrumentally, no lyrics. And even 4 years ago, I didn't know he was writing all the lyrics of his songs. I only thought he was a tune writer. He uses a lot of beginning of tunes, which I use myself too. And, well, I don't say I have stolen it from him, but I think there are influences. And there's a piano here. I can easily show you how something can sound. There's a distance between the tones. This is a second, this is a third and a quarter. In music, you have got a minor second, as this one. When you sound them at the same time, they're terrible. I mean, but after when you do this, it always has the feeling you want to have a solution. And Strauss had made a waltz. Geschichten aus dem Wienerwald. Etc. Irving Berlin does. All this minor second, they are so important. All this has a sort of sentimental feeling. It sounds a bit folky, I think. This distance in music, which gives a sort of sentimental feeling, and Berlin used it a lot, just like Johann Strauss did it in his waltzes. And
you've used yourself as well in one of your songs.
Oh, yes.
Play one of yours.
I made a tune years and years ago about fishing, people who like to go out fishing.
Fishing. What is it about an Irving Berlin song that makes it stand out? What is that element?
I think his music is very direct. It is honest, so elementary, right from the bottom of his heart, that he uses always his title word. Oh, this song will be called Always. Or this song will be called Doing What Comes Naturally. He wants to be clear to people. If he should be younger, he should be a perfect copyright, I think.
Glocken in the night läuten mit brummenden Stämmen dieben zwei.
The Dutch version of a song that has been translated into over 30 languages, recorded by 600 different artists, and can rightly be called the best-known song of all time. The original version, recorded by Bing Crosby, has sold over 200 million copies since 1942. One song that made Berlin and his favorite crooner into millionaires.
I'm proud of that song. I'm proud that Irving Berlin wrote it for me. Well, it's advanced my career, let's say, a great deal, and kept the career alive, because every year you hear it on the radio, and then in the picture called White Christmas is released every year on television in the United States. It's been a great factor in my success and my enduring popularity.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. The treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
First written in 1939 and originally titled, believe it or not, I'm Sitting in Beverly Hills Dreaming of a White Christmas. Happily, Berlin, who hated changing any of his lyrics, did on this occasion. As I said, Irving never discarded anything he wrote. If it didn't work first time round, he'd put the song on a shelf and years later dust it off. In 1917, for instance, he wrote a piece called Smile and Show Your Dimple. But nobody smiled. In 1933, he used the tune again, with a new set of lyrics. And when he visited the Netherlands in 1948, a Dutch radio reporter made him reveal his secret.
Mr. Berlin, you know, of course, your songs and your compositions are very famous in our country.
I'm very glad to hear that. I didn't know that.
Yes, of course. We all know.
Can you sing one for us now?
Come on, it's here.
Oh, we can do that. That's
you know, that's composed, I mean, in...
May I say this to you, Jan?
Yes, of course.
Am I pronouncing your name right?
Jan.
Jan. Yes, if everybody fine. Sang that song like you, I'd rather they wouldn't do it. No, I'm joking. You do it very well.
I know. But could you are still composing.
I think so. I call them that.
And could you sing
the
one?
The public may stop calling that any minute. But can I sing one? No, you don't.
Now you ask me to sing, and I was asking.
All right.
What
do you want me to sing?
Now your latest composition, if you.
My latest composition?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you what I will do. I'll sing 16 bars of a composition that I wrote some years ago, but it's the title. It's the name of a new movie I've just done. It's called Easter Parade.
Would you like to sing some phrases?
I wouldn't like to, but I'll do it because I've got myself in a spot, you see. In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter. Well, you do the rest now.
On the Avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the road of gravure.
The dimple that changed into Easter Parade and the MGM musical starring Judy Garland and Fred Astaire. And it was for Fred Astaire that Berlin created some of his most enduring songs, all of them now committed to celluloid and shown regularly on the late TV shows.
Of all the songs I've done, I think perhaps this next one has been the nearest thing to a trademark. I'm particularly fond of this old fella, and when Irving Berlin wrote it for me, I of course found it a real inspiration. Top hat, white tie, and tails.
I just got an invitation through the mails. Your presence requested this evening. It's formal, top hat, white tie, and tails. Nothing now could take the wind out of my sails, because I'm invited to step out this evening with top hat, white tie, and tails. Putting on the top hat, tying up the white tie, brushing off the tails. I'm dudin' up my shirt front, putting in the shirt stud, polishing my nails. I'm stepping out, my dear, to breathe an atmosphere that simply reeks with class. And I trust that you'll excuse my dust when I step on the gas. For I'll be there, putting down my top hat, mussing up a white tie, dancing in my tails.
Everybody tap dance. One of the most stylish interpreters of Berlin's music, Fred Astaire. That tradition of interpretation, keeping alive Berlin's repertoire, is something that's maintained by a handful of singers and musicians in this country. The great American composers like Kern, Porter, Gershwin, Rogers, and Berlin, the men who produced what we call the standards, are somewhat forgotten figures today. But not with jazz singers like Holland's Ann Burton, who over the years has recorded many a Berlin song.
He has written some lovely songs that appeal to my inner self.
and therefore I will choose them and sing them. I would not sing Alexander's Ragtime Band because that's not my thing, but What'll I Do and How Deep Is the Ocean and By Myself are songs that I like, and the songs are written in a way that so many interpretations are possible.
Would you say that lyric-wise, he's a sentimental writer?
You can make all lyrics sentimental, if that is what you want. But if you put him on a certain level and stop putting your own sentiment in them, but just make them universal so that everybody who listens to them can add their own story to it, that is what interpretation means anyway. You know, some songs are so fixed there is no interpretation possible. But with, like, What'll I Do, there comes a time in your life when you can sing that. Because as you live, you lose sometimes. So therefore, when you have passed the point of being sad about it, then you can put the song out.
What'll I do when you far away, and I'm so blue, what'll I do? What'll I do when I am wondering who is kissing you? What'll I do? What'll I do with just a photograph to tell my troubles to? When I'm alone with only dreams, that won't come true, what'll I do?
What I also want to say is that a lot of the composers in America, also Irving Berlin, should be very happy for jazz musicians and jazz singers, because they have managed to give the songs extra dimension by changing chords under it, make it more interesting, and therefore take it, change it around, not melodically so much, although there's a little phrasing here and there, but therefore those songs become even more classic than they are already, because I think they will be played 100 years from now as well, because they're so universal.
I want to come to another point, because it's something that has mystified a lot of people, a lot of notable writers and things, is the fact that Berlin belongs to a group, what we would call the American Jewish composers. In fact, if you really look at it, the repertoire, the great composers of this century in America, and that's going all the way from, let's say, Jerome Kern right up to Stephen Sondheim, have all been Jewish. Is there any explanation for this, why this has happened in America?
I think there are two things that the Jews have. The Jews have always been traveling around and always had to be grateful for crumbs they got from governments. You know, they could either stay or work or not work. So they had to find a way of making a living. Now, a lot of people who had to work with gold or other metals or the garment business is Jewish. And then you also had the people that were musical and were able to put whatever they felt in their poetic souls, because it's a lot of it is poetry, it's sheer poetry, into the American way of life, being grateful, being happy, being finally free. It's funny that they were all Jewish. And the funny thing is also that the interpretation of their songs is usually done by black people who have also been persecuted throughout the ages. So there is a meeting of two, could you say, downtrodden people, and out of it comes something very beautiful.
There may be trouble ahead, But while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have a chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance, let's face the music and dance.
The incomparable Ella Fitzgerald from her classic Irving Berlin songbook. Songs that will be heard all this week on radio and TV as the media celebrates Berlin's 100th birthday. He's given the world a great legacy of popular music, and except for a short period at the beginning, his output has been all his own. Songwriters usually tend to come in pairs, but Irving Berlin was Sullivan to his own Gilbert, Hart and Hammerstein to his own Rodgers. His genius is that he always had the knack of writing the right song for the right moment, and when he retired in 1962, the mold was broken. As a man whose need for isolation is legendary, he probably will turn a deaf ear to these centenary celebrations and heartily disapprove that students of popular music, like those at the Amsterdam Music Conservatoire, dissect his songs and analyze the lyrics. Something that Berlin always refused to do. When asked, he would reply,
"Nobody wants a songwriter to talk. The only thing people want to hear is his music."
But what do today's generation think of that music?
The young people go for the melody line and find most of the lyrics corny. But that, again, is a question of age. So they come to me and they have a song and they like it, but usually they say, "Oh, we love the melody, but the lyrics are so corny." And I say, "The lyrics are not corny. It's you that are corny."
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together, dance cheek to cheek, yes, heaven, I'm in heaven. And the cares that hung around me through the week seems to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we out together, dancing cheek to cheek.
Well, that may be corny for a cynical generation, but for mine it's a million-carat diamond. And one day, when people start dancing cheek to cheek again, they'll remember Irving Berlin and be thankful. Happy birthday, then, to the man who's written more songs and reached more people than anyone who ever lived. And like Ann Burton, I have no doubt his legacy, like him, survives.
As long as there's Dixieland bands playing Alexander's Ragtime Band, it will survive. I think most of the songs will survive because they are so strong. If this sort of music, which disappears from time to time for years and years, it always crops up because it's too good not to last. It's so good, no society could really do without it because it represents the sentiments of love, of living, of feeling, of sadness, of dying, of losing, whatever you want to call it. So it will remain.
I'll be loving you always. I don't know the words by hand. If the song be wrong, I'll need a helping hand. Like this.
Always and ever, Irving Berlin. With gratitude to Harry Bannink and Anne Burton for their contribution, and to technical producer Heini Wagener. This program is dedicated to Harry van Eindhoven, companion, friend, and mentor. From Pete, with love.
Not for just an hour, not for just a year, but always.